We welcome all our guests who are with us this morning, to our friends who have made the time and have made the choice to join us to worship our God in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your presence, and we hope that we will be able to continue to know one another through the bonds of fellowship. To our brethren who have been here this morning and have now come to us again tonight, this evening, or the second hour, we thank you as well for being here. And we hope and pray that you will continue to stir that spirit of one another up in love and good works. If you will, please open your Bibles to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But this wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our spiritual King, hallowed be thy name. We bow before that divine throne of grace to give thee all honor and glory. We thank thee, Father, for the life, the health, and the time that we have to come together, Lord, as thy saints, to worship and sing praises to thy name, to worship and pray and to worship and remember, Father, that precious sacrifice, that selflessness displayed on behalf of our Master. Father, now we come to the part where we worship by studying thy word and to listening, Father, to thy word through the lips of this thy servant. Father, allow me to speak in accordance to thy word. Father, prevent me from adding to or subtracting from thy word. That everything, Lord, that I have been able to glean from thy scripture, I may first, Father, apply it in my own living. That I first, Father, may make these changes necessary so that I may always grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that those who are hearing me, Father, may also, Lord, listen intently, and that they, Father, may examine all that is being shared to retain that which is good and to discard that which may be bad. Father, we ask for the forgiveness of our sins. I ask that you forgive me, Father, for the mistakes that I may make. But Father, grant me the meekness and the humility to acknowledge and to learn when I do. Father, once more we pray this, not because we are deserving nor because we are worthy. But thy word has granted us the blessing, Father, to draw near to thee through that precious blood of the Lamb. In his name, Father, we pray. Amen. We mentioned this morning how it is beautiful to see that in James, every chapter, when it ends, it leads into the chapter that we begin. We've noticed that in chapter 3, the crux or the central idea is how earthly wisdom is not beneficial for us. We see that the Bible declares that earthly wisdom is sensual and demonic. It is a type of wisdom where the emphasis is self. We were able to read how it is self-seeking, and thus because it is self-seeking, it will do anything necessary for it to obtain what it so desires. But it's amazing that when we get into chapter 4, the first three verses, we are able to see in each one of those verses the harvest of sensual, demonic, earthly wisdom. You see, when we think about earthly wisdom, a way of explaining it in order for us to do a comparison is human wit. We think about being cunning. We think about being conniving. We think about people who will use manipulative maneuvers in order to gain what they so desire. This is earthly wisdom. And hence why the Bible says that it is not only demonic, but it is also sensual. Because the whole reason for implementing and using these stratagems of men, these stratagems of the flesh, is because the only goal is for self-satisfaction. If you will, please go with me now to James chapter 4, verse 1. And observe how the first fruit, the first harvest that is pointed of earthly wisdom, is the fact that Scripture says with the question, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" Now it is key to understand that here this question and the one following has to do with the relationship between us as Christians. It is not speaking in sense of wars and fights out in the world, although it can apply. But rather what the comparison here being made by James is that if we are a spiritual nation, if we are spiritually minded, why then are we applying earthly wisdom among ourselves? Why do we have the need not to speak truth each to his neighbor? Why must we apply tactics of the world in order to encourage and motivate one another? You see, when we begin to use earthly wisdom, brethren, we then start confusing and thinking and treating the church as if it were no different from the rest of the world. When in reality, the Bible teaches us that spiritual wisdom applies even in the world, and it supersedes it. But notice how verse 1 begins by saying that one of the harvests is that because the desires of our heart is what is motivating and prompting these actions, it provides forth for division and conflict amongst us as brethren. If you will, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We know that this chapter is always sought after because of that. But observe there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." Now notice in verse 12 and in verse 13, we're going to see how Paul uses spiritual wisdom, heavenly wisdom, to expose earthly wisdom. Verse 12 and verse 13, "Now I say this, that each of you says, 'I am of Paul,' or 'I am of Apollos,' or 'I am of Cephas,' or 'I am of Christ.'" There's the earthly wisdom. Verse 13 is the spiritual wisdom, correcting the earthly. Is Christ divided? Was Paul sacrificed, crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Observe that according to the earthly wisdom, we can choose sides and be at odds with one another. This foolish concept of agreeing to disagree, it is nothing more than a contradiction in itself. How can you agree when you already disagree? Makes no sense. And this is what we're reading here. "Well, I'm of Paul, you're of Cephas, but then we have that group that says we're of Christ." But what was the problem? That this self-seeking attitude, they were choosing these speakers based on their comfort, based on their liking. They were not spiritually minded by not choosing the content of the message, but rather the eloquence of the messenger. Their decisions of choosing these sides were driven by what I prefer, by personal opinion, by personal preference. And remember that there in James chapter 4, or excuse me, chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, it says that self-seeking will lead to confusion, that it will lead to strifes amongst you. And thus in James chapter 4 verse 1, we are able to see that one of the first fruits given to us from using and applying earthly wisdom is that wars and battles ensue among us. Thus 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 10 through 13 prove this to be true. We know this because if you will, turn with me very quickly to chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 and forward. Notice how Paul declares them to be carnally minded. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, once again, among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Where do wars and strifes come from, says James? It's a rhetorical question. The answer, from earthly wisdom. From the application of thinking and acting like the world. Of using stratagems of men to be able to obtain what I desire, what I prefer, and placing my preferences above those of my brethren. I go to any lengths to get the ones that I want. In the case of the Corinthians, how do we get Apollos here instead of Paul? What arguments can we make to prove that Apollos is superior to Paul? Well, Apollos is much more polished behind the podium. Paul is too rough. He's too tough. And he's not as eloquent as Apollos is. Paul himself says, but when it comes to knowledge, which of the two has the upper hand? You see, brethren, when we apply earthly wisdom, there will be wars and struggles among us. That's what happens out in the world, in every level of society. Whether it's at a job where you are put in place to compete with one another for promotions or for raises. Whether it's at school where you are given a GPA system, where a valedictorian is awarded, which immediately creates that competition between one another. Notice that in the church, that is not the case. But yet sometimes, men, spiritual men, believe that the eldership is up for grabs, thus they start competing with one another. Sadly, I have witnessed men, campaigning as if they can get voted into the eldership. That's earthly wisdom. Because spiritual wisdom teaches us both in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 8, Titus chapter 1 verses 1 through 5, that you must already be living the life of a spiritual man. And that will by itself declare you qualified to serve in such an office. Spiritual wisdom simply conveys, be a Christian and only a Christian, and the rest will fall into place. But how sad. How sad, as we mentioned last week, that there is a hunger and ambition for the podium. There is a hunger and ambition for the pulpit, where we'll see preachers begin to compete and outdo one another. Where we will see, well, if Brother Brown preached so eloquently, well, I need to up him because I don't want to lose my position to him. Where instead, I should thank God for having such a companion as skilled who can continue to preach the truth and only the truth even when I am not here. But the earthly wisdom is, oh, I can't let him outdo me. He's going to take my job. You see how wars and struggles begin when earthly wisdom sets in? We have to learn to see things from the eyes of the Spirit, brethren. And we have to learn how to think these matters through with the wisdom of heaven and not the wisdom of earth. We go back to James chapter 4 and observe how there in James chapter 4, The Bible continues to show us this harvest. We see that first and foremost, in verse 1, it teaches us how it causes division and it causes strife amongst us, because we're thinking like the world. But notice verse 2, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. Now, it's interesting, because here we read and we talk about certain things, and once again, all of these things have to do between one another as Christians. We go to the extent that our selfishness, our lust, our desires overtake us and overpower us, that eventually what's driving us is no longer the goal itself, but simply that passion, that desire that transforms into obsession. We lose sight of the fact that we are harming and wronging our own kinsmen in order to obtain what we want. Let me take you to 1 Kings chapter 21. Because here is a perfect example of a carnally, sensually minded man whom we come to emulate when we allow our earthly wisdom to guide our reasoning. When we allow our desires to overpower us. And observe how in 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning there at verse 4, it shows us this. So Ahab went into his house sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said to him, why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food? He said to her, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. Then Jezebel his wife said to him, you now exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth of Jezreelite. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with a seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. So she wrote him a letter saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men scoundrels before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him that he may die. What drove Jezebel to such extremes? In her case, you as king look weak right now. And your weakness is a reflection on me as the queen sitting next to you. You are making our rule look insignificant. You're making us look bad, Ahab. What was Ahab's desire? I really want his vineyard. And I want it even more now that he said no. Did you pay attention how Jezebel murdered Naboth? She murdered his character before she murdered his body. Also that she can obtain what her husband desired very passionately. That's earthly wisdom. There's the harvest of earthly wisdom. You murder, says James 4:2. James isn't saying literally. But in some cases, brethren, when all we have is our reputation, when all we have is our good name, that can sometimes lead to someone becoming very sick physically. When we begin to discredit them through gossip, through rumors, through lies, false accusations, we are murdering that man or that woman out of a strong desire against them. When we ignore them, when we do not speak to them or respond to their answer, we are murdering them. All because of a strong desire that we have against that person. That is earthly wisdom. The silent treatment, brethren, that is earthly wisdom. Because heavenly wisdom tells us, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Heavenly wisdom, if you know that your brother has wronged you, leave your offering there and go and reconcile yourself with him. But we always go for the earthly. We choose war. We choose strife. We choose murder of character. And then, thinking that no one observes us, the question comes, why aren't you speaking to the brother? Why are you so tierce in your response to him? Oh, I'd rather not speak to it, but I'm angry at him right now. You think you're not doing anything wrong, but you've already planted the seed of doubt in that person's mind. That's earthly wisdom. Instead, you should be resolving the issue as quickly as possible so that no one will have anything to speak of, and that Satan will not take advantage of us as a church to try to plant division amongst us. But that, brethren, requires a spiritual mind that has delved itself in the law of our King. And if you notice, verse 2 ends by saying that we do not ask. Well, why don't we ask? Because we know the answer already. We know that God is going to say no. We know that God does not approve. We know that what we desire, we should not desire in the first place. But because I want it, what is the old saying that I've heard? I'd rather ask for an apology than for permission. But God has already said no. And the fact that I know not to ask because I don't want to hear no is an answer of itself already. But I think that I won't ask. And what I did not realize is that earthly wisdom separates me from my God. Earthly wisdom distances me from my God. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Notice the warning found there in verse 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? When I know that God's answer is no, I, in my earthly wisdom, conclude, well, what if I do it on my own? Ahab was told no. And he became depressed because of it. Jezebel's solution is, why are you asking for permission? You're the king. Take it by force. But did either one of them consult Jehovah God? Did either one of them seek for a prophet to inquire of the Lord? After all, this was the same Ahab who despised Micaiah, who never called on Micaiah to come and prophesy and to consult the Lord on his behalf if he should go to battle or not. But why did Ahab despise this prophet? He always speaks in evil of me. Well, if you were a good man and if you were a righteous man, why would he speak evil of you? Maybe you need to correct yourself, Ahab. Maybe you need to change and transform. But your earthly wisdom does not allow you to see. You've drifted away from the Lord. You've drifted away from God. You have neglected the salvation, the great salvation that has been given to you. Because you have not given the earnest heed to the things that the Lord has spoken to you. What that tells us is, how are we listening? Are we only listening to the things that are convenient to us? You know, it's funny, Brother Entria used to always tell a story, and I didn't know it was true until the year that we talked about couples here at Southeast. And many times when he would begin preaching from Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. The wives start poking the ribs of the husbands. The following Sunday, wives, submit to your own husbands in the Lord. They would all turn around and act like they weren't the ones now being poked by their husbands. How are we hearing? Are we hearing earnestly? Or are we only listening to the things that are convenient for us? We love sermons about salvation in heaven. But how often do we hate to hear about hell and damnation? That's not giving an earnest ear to the things that God has spoken. Because our God speaks about reward, both in the good and in the bad sense. But our earthly wisdom provides the fruit where we drift away from God because we only have selective hearing. We don't hear earnestly what God has to say. This is similar to those who only hear that God is love and then want to claim that God punishes no one. No, that's selective hearing. Because God is love, He punishes those children that He loves. Because the purpose of punishment is not pain, it's correction. So as we go back to James chapter 4, verse 1 teaches us how earthly wisdom produces fruit of division amongst us. Verse 2 teaches us how there we see that earthly wisdom provides amongst us a passion that will lead to a murder, if you will, and will drift us away from God. But verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. This is the ultimate test of our selfishness. I encourage you, brethren, take your pens. Next to chapter 4, verse 3, write Luke chapter 18. And we're going to go there very quickly, although this is not the one that I want to read. But let's go very quickly to Luke chapter 18. And specifically, I want you to write next to it, verse 11. Because in James chapter 4, verse 3, Luke chapter 18, verse 11, and the parable that Jesus uses as an example, it explains what it means to ask, but ask amiss. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That's what James 4:3 is talking about. You see, in verse 2, we've drifted away from God. We've separated ourselves from Him. We've distanced ourselves because we don't want Him to know what we are doing. We don't want to hear no. Then in verse 3, we begin to ask when we can't do it on our own. But our prayer is not to honor God. We're not praying for a spiritual reason. We're praying for a selfish, earthly one. What I am asking for, I'm asking it for my own lust. What I pray so fervently for is not to bring honor to God's name, but because I really want it. And thus, as this Pharisee of the parable, I'm praying to myself. I'm praying with myself. not to God. Oh, my words are directing it toward God. My mind may think that I am praying to God. The ending of my prayer may be in the name of Jesus Christ. But after that, it finishes, let my will be done. Because we can't accept no from God. Not realizing that perhaps what we're asking for will lead to eternal damnation. Go with me to 1 John, which is the passage that we want to read. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And notice how there in 1 John chapter 5 we are told how we are to pray. 1 John chapter 5, beginning there at verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Let me read it to you one more time. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. When we use the selective hearing, we read it like this. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, He hears us. That's the earthly minded person, the carnally minded. They conveniently do not hear according to His will. See, this scripture here is teaching me that if what I am praying for, although it may be harmless, and it may not be something that can be destructive in my life, if it is not according to God's will, the answer is going to be no. Not because it's wrong, nor because it may be sinful, but simply put, because it may not be beneficial as I think it's supposed to be. Jeremiah was given the instruction by God that he was not to marry anyone, that he was to remain single until the day that he died. It's a very lonely life. I speak from experience. But notice God's will for Jeremiah. Because they're all corrupt, Jeremiah. And they're going to be destroyed. If you take a woman from amongst them, she can bring you down with her, or you're going to suffer a very great loss that I want to avoid you to suffer. When Hannah prayed, 1 Samuel chapter 1, notice that when she prayed, she did not ask for a child selfishly. She did not want to be a mother just because she wanted to be a mother. No. When she prayed, she was very spiritually minded. Her wisdom was heavenly. Give me the opportunity to bring forth a servant of righteousness in your name, O God. Grant me a son, and I will consecrate him from birth for your service. And at a certain time, I will return him to you. Can you say that her purpose was just because she wanted to be a mother? When we teach teachers, our little ones, that story, please, let's be careful. And let us not make them believe that the reason Anna prayed for a son was because she wanted to be a mother. No, the reason she wanted to be a mother was to honor God and bring righteousness back to Israel. It was a heavenly, wise decision. What we are asking for, what we are praying for, which we have not yet obtained, have we stopped to consider, how will it honor God? How does it fit to the scheme and the will of God? When we ask for it, are we using that to tell God, Father, please grant me this so that I can use this in your service? Or am I simply asking for it because I want it, I desire, and it's my selfishness that's driving the prayer and not my service to God, which should have been doing it in the first place? When we ask, do we have in mind how it will honor God and how we can use it for His kingdom? Or are we only thinking about ourselves in our petition? What harvest are we bringing forth? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ said, by their fruits you shall know them. But by our fruits, we know ourselves as well. The fruit that we are yielding, is it peaceable? Is it pure? Is it for edification? If so, then we have been applying heavenly wisdom in our lives. But our actions, are they bringing forth division? Are they pushing us away from prayer? Because we know that God's answer is already not the one that we want to hear. And then when we pray, are we praying to ourselves? Am I praying to myself instead of to God? Because I simply want my heart's desire and not God's will in my life. If so, it is earthly wisdom which I have been planting. And the harvest that has come up is called strife, division, and war between myself and God and my fellow brother. Which wisdom am I applying in my life? James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 shows me the harvest of earthly wisdom. But if we go back to James as we finish our lesson this morning, notice that in chapter 3, verse 18 and verse 17 tell us the harvest of spiritual, heavenly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. It's beautiful that Jesus Christ said, blessed are the peacemakers. James no doubt had this in mind. Too many times we try to be peacekeepers. I submit to you that being a peacekeeper is a selfish ambition, whereas being a peacemaker is a selfless one. It's easy to keep the peace. It's very difficult to make peace amongst warring people or warring nations. But among us, there should be no war. Among us, there should be no strife. Among us, there should be no desire like that of Ahab and Jezebel. Among us, there should be no selfish prayers where we pray to ourselves. Thus this morning, the question is that the case for us as a church? But my friend, this question applies to you as well. You want peace with God. You want heaven. But are you willing to yield what is necessary? Are you willing to give up what is required in order for you to obtain these goals? You see, God wants to give you heaven. God wants you to be at peace with Him. God wants you to be in eternal joy with Him. But there are conditions for this. And you have to be willing to give. An example of our final point is you praying for heaven, but asking God to let you obtain it by still living your life on your own terms. You ask amiss. No. If you truly want heaven, then you have to give up self and let Jesus sit on the throne of your heart. Because that's heavenly wisdom. So, what are you going to do this morning? Will you follow the wisdom that is from above and lay to rest the old man in the waters of baptism by obeying the gospel in accordance to his commandment? Or will you still try to find a way and try to study scripture diligently to find some, quote, loophole where you can have, quote, the best of both worlds? See, that's earthly wisdom. Because this world, in terms of spirituality, has nothing good to offer. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17 teaches us why that is earthly wisdom. And by the way, it proves what James says. It does not lead to a good harvest for the soul. So what choice will you make this morning, my friend? Will you follow heavenly wisdom and apply it in your life? Or will you continue to dwell in earthly wisdom, thinking that you can be the exception to the rule? If you are subject to this invitation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we speak.